Well, good morning to you all and welcome to our service this morning. You're particularly welcome if you're a visitor. I think we have some visitors this morning. We're glad you've come to join us this morning for our worship together. Those of you who were at the Cayley last night, I trust have recovered from all your exertions. And I'm able to tell you that you remember we were raising money, there were donations for the Colley family's projected trip to Ghana next year, and we've raised a total of £664 for that, so thank you. And a big thank you to all of those who were involved in organising the Cayley last night and making it such a successful event. I think they deserve a round of applause. The notices, I'll just go through one or two things. First of all, just to remind the elders that we're having a brief Kirk Session meeting just down at the front here immediately after the service this morning. Immediately after means the length of time after the service that it takes you to go and collect your cup of tea or coffee and bring it through, and then we'll have only about a 10-minute meeting, just one item of business we've got to deal with. This evening, our evening service at St. Margaret's Hall, 7 o'clock, and we're looking at the theme of God Gives Life, and we'll be thinking in that context about what it means to be human and what worship is all about. So if you're able to come along to that, please do. And those of you who are regulars there will know that sometimes we've had our cup of tea and coffee before the service, and sometimes we've had it after the service. So the vote for this week is we'll have it after the service. So you can linger after the service, have a cup of tea or coffee, and chat and tell Grant what you didn't agree with and what he said in his presentation. The Friday, there's the TUFM as usual, but it's also the World Day of Prayer service. A reminder about that, it's in the church hall at 7 o'clock. And I've been asked to remind you, or to tell you rather, that the new copies of Life and Work are ready for those who subscribe to that. I think that's all I need to mention, apart from to mention two people who are ill and we need to hold in our prayers. One of them is Anne Ling's brother, John, who's an ARI, having had a heart attack and is waiting for a bypass. And Tony Law, Kathleen's husband, had a stroke yesterday, a quite severe stroke, and is in Dr. Gray's. So we need to remember both these families in our prayers. Thank you.
Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Lord God, the wonders of your creation, the splendor of the heavens, the beauty of the earth, all speak to us of your glory, the coming of your Son, the presence of your Spirit, the fellowship of your church shows us the marvel of your love. We worship and adore you, God of grace and glory. We pray that you will speak to us today through the work of your Spirit, and we pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord greets us, mercy and peace be unto you. And when the Lord greets us, we greet him back. And let's sing our first hymn praise. That is hymn 172, Sing for God's Glory. Let us pray. God of mercy, God of love, in humbleness of heart, we confess our sins. We sometimes forget to love and serve you, and we wander from your ways. We tend to be careless of your world and put its life in danger. We talk of concern for others, but mostly fail to match our words with actions. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Psalm 103 reads as follows. Praise the Lord with all your inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us all our sins and who redeems our lives from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who love and fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who loves him. Let's give thanks to the Lord with singing from CH 480, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. I see there's a few of the youngsters here this morning who also went to the Kaylee last night. So if there are any of you that wants to join me and have a chat, would you join me? Would you? Okay, it's fine. If you want to, you could. Come sit with me. I'll sit down here. Yes, that's better. All right. So when we think of life, and do you attend school? Do you attend school? Not yet. Okay, you attend school. But when we play with our friends, sometimes we want certain friends to play with us, and other times we don't like all of the friends. Is it true? We can say it. Yes, it's true. It's true. So sometimes we have people that are in and friends that are out. That's like that. And when we speak to other friends, we like to tell them about our family and maybe your school and maybe your parents and your, do you have dogs or cats or pets? What do you have? A dog. Yes. So do you tell people about your dog? Yes. No. Yes. No. Sometimes. Yes. So usually we tell people of our own things. And that's good. We have certain groups in life. But sometimes we need to ask ourselves, when we have our own groups, does it include people with love or does it exclude people? Meaning, we don't like everybody. Because sometimes we dislike some people. Is it not true? Sometimes we dislike people. Okay, let's play a game. I'm going to say a word, and then you need to say the opposite. But the adults are also, they can also assist us. All right. So I'll say the words. The first word is, if I say happy, then the opposite is? Sad. All right, thank you. And if I say something is big, we say it's small. All right, and if I say it's tall, then it's short. Yes. If I say something is closed and the opposite is open. Yes. If I say stop, you say go. Yes. If I say over, you say under. If I say love, you say hate. Yeah, there we got it. So that is what it's all about this morning. Jesus told his friends, he said, all right, if we want to live in a good society, then there's certain things we need to do. The first thing is to love God with everything you have. I said it two Sundays ago. And then also love your neighbors and also love yourself. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know? Yes. I also have lovely neighbors. Yes, good neighbors. And then Jesus said, but there's actually a fourth circle as well to have a good society, and that is to love your enemies. Do you like enemies? No, we struggle with enemies. We struggle with people that dislike us. But Jesus says, we need to love them. Now, I'm going to ask a question just to think on or ponder on. Have you ever been naughty? Okay, me too, all right. Have you been naughty? Maybe once. All right, maybe. And you? All right, so we've all been naughty. And we did something that was wrong, all right. Did that stop, did our parents or your grandparents or your friends, did they stop loving you for that one time? No. They did not. Although we did something wrong. So, do we do bad things sometimes? Yes. So maybe we are also the enemy of other people. Do you get that? I didn't think of that before. But my parents still love me, although I'm sometimes naughty. And therefore Jesus says, God also loves us. He loves us. He forgives us our naughtiness and our sins, but he loves us. And therefore, we also need to love other people that sometimes they do naughty or bad things. Not a good thing, but we're not all angels. Do you get that? All right. Shall I pray for us for this week? And we pray for other people too to help us to love them. Will it be fine? All right. Jesus, you gave us this commandment when you said that we must love you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us, although we're sometimes stubborn and naughty. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you give us parents and family and friends that we love. Thank you that we have good neighbors, that they love us and we can love them. And now we ask you, this week that's coming, we know we have some enemies. Maybe people that dislike us or treat us in a bad manner. We ask you, please help us to love them also. When someone speaks bad to us, let's not attack them back. Help us to speak in a soft way to them. If someone steals something or takes something from me, not to steal something back from them, but to go to an adult to assist us with the problem. Thank you that you give so many people around us in our community which can help us with love and assist us also to love others. We pray for the other people who are our enemies, that you will always also work in their hearts to change their attitude, to have a better society and to love you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you. All right. Evelyn, I think, yes, we sing from CH4132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from Genesis chapter 45, which is on page 50 of the Pew Bibles. We're starting to read at verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close." When they had done this, he said to them, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now, hurry back to him and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and all your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him." And the second reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting at verse 27. And this is found on page 1034 of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27. Love for enemies. "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to anyone who asks you, and to anyone who takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend back to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen.
While we were listening to the scripture reading again, it's so wonderful that the Spirit again and again shows you new things, even if you prepared your sermon. And I also saw new things while listening to the scripture reading again. The passage from Luke 6 is part of Jesus' teaching, and it's sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain because it reflects or repeats aspects of the longer sermon of the Sermon of the Mount, which we find in Matthew. Now, this section is not difficult to understand at all, but it's usually difficult to do in practice. The call to love God, to love our neighbors, and to love one another is added to this final call to love our enemies. And to love those who are different from us, to love those who disagree with us, to love those who are difficult and demanding, and delight to do us down in asking too much, surely. Even to describe them in such a language shows that such love is beyond us. How can we love those who undermine, belittle, and demean us? How can we love those who are actively seeking our harm and perhaps even our destruction? No wonder we need grace. Jesus is very practical and pragmatic in the examples he uses by way of application. Whatever we feel, our actions should not do them good. Then John Scott said, "Love is not a victim of our emotions, but a servant of our will." I'll say it again. Love is not a victim of our emotions, but a servant of our will. Our attitudes should be one of blessing, not of cursing, and that we know, of prayer and not provocation, instead of retaliation, vulnerability. Where exploited, be generous in response, Jesus says. Let loans become gifts and follow the golden rule of love. The countercultural way of grace marks the Christian community out from others. That is what Jesus is conveying here within the context of his disciples and also within the context of the Jewish community. We love because we are loved. We do good to those who return the favor. In general, we lend where repayment is guaranteed. That's how we think. But go to a different gear, says Jesus. Operate on a different level and you will show the world to which family you rightfully belong. You will represent the family of God the Father. For all God our Father is asking is that his children show the same mercy that he shows unto us. Just give what you receive and give it unto others. I do think that this commandment was intentionally meant for the disciples, to tell them you are different from the world. But also, I was wondering and reading some of the commentaries if this was not specifically pointed to the Jewish community, because the Jewish community would usually just nourish their own little community where their family and belongings would have been. And that's why I said when hearing the scripture again this morning, for the third time I read it this morning, I discovered again how interested Jews might be in hearing this good news. I mean, if you get something back, let me just get the Bible. If you hear that you would get something back, which is give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, meaning not stingy. Verse 38 of Luke 6. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will pour out into your lap. I think it might be, yes, this is good business, doing good business. That's what I found this morning. And I wonder if this was not intentionally also for the broader community, all the listeners of Jesus, even those who did not like him at the moment. Let me just get back to my text. The expectation to love and bless your enemy was not supposed to be something new to the Jewish tradition from which Jesus also came. These words supposedly resonated with the Jews' history a way back. Because by fulfilling this practice, which Jesus asks them or demands them, they as Jews was actually saved in the past and reconciled in a sense. Their right to being was founded in this. Being Jews was founded in this commandment. It would have taken them back to the history we also read this morning from Genesis chapter 45. This was one of the most dramatic turning points in the history of the Jews. You would remember that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. Now these 12 sons made up the 12 tribes of Israel and was in a sense the totality of whom Israel and the Jews were and still are today. Now back to our story of this morning in Genesis 45. Years have passed since Joseph's brother put him down in a pit and sold him to passing Midianite traders. All that time, they have lived the lie before their father that Joseph was dead, torn to pieces by a wild animal. It was a shared conspiracy by the brothers they could never talk about or even talk about among themselves. Perhaps they have even come to believe it themselves. Perhaps during the night would have sleepless nights thinking, what have we done? Played the scene over and over, time and again wondering only if they could wound back the clock again and change things. Because I could think that their father was grieving a lot. Whatever their fantasies, nothing prepared them for what would happen later in their lives. Now just a quick background. I know we all know the background, but sometimes it's just good to get the picture again. A quick background to the text of Genesis 45. There was drought in the land, and the brothers of Joseph were sent to go and search and ask for help from the Pharaoh in Egypt. They wanted to buy food. Jacob, their father, sent them there. What they did not know was that their brother, Joseph, which they sold and got rid of, was now working for the Pharaoh, and he was the governor. Initially, you would remember that Joseph's brothers did not recognize him or who he was at first. They had struggled to make sense of this strange governor of the Pharaoh and his actions and attitudes towards them. They had been accused, his brothers, of being spies and saw this unfair attack as a punishment, maybe from God, for ill-treating their brother at childhood. Then they found silver among the grain when they left and couldn't comprehend where it had come from. The second visit to Egypt to again go for food and actually return with their youngest brother Benjamin was just as bizarre. They were honored this time without explanation by given a meal by the governor and told that their God had put the silver in their sacks. On their return again, there was silver amongst the grain, and as you would remember, there was a silver cup of much value that was put into Benjamin's sack. And Benjamin was the favored boy of their father. And when Benjamin got arrested, the brothers stand by him like they never stood by Joseph, the outcast brother, years before. They show a concern for their father and brother that was new since Joseph had last seen them at childhood. Judah, one of the brothers, offered to take the youngest brother's place and suffer instead of him. It was this new attitude that finally breached Joseph's defense, and he breaks into weeping in front of them. Their surprise at his tears was nothing compared to their reactions to his first three words, probably spoken to their surprise in Hebrew, telling them, "I am Joseph." I could imagine myself, terror gripped them as their past wickedness was finally and fully revealed. What followed showed the triumph of grace over just judgment. Words of forgiveness and reconciliation came from Joseph's lips. He called them closer and adds to the opening words the following: "Brother, I am your brother, Joseph." And it says a lot. I mean, you could just say, "I'm Governor Joseph, and I will shunt you around. I will tell you what to do." But he adds love to it. He says, "I'm your brother, Joseph." And therefore, he reestablished the bond of betrayal that was broken. Joseph's story shows his profound understanding of God's providence and how God uses their wickedness for good. Although twice Joseph says, "You sold me," in verse 4 and 5. Three times he says, "God sent me ahead of you." And Joseph takes seriously their actions, but ascribes ultimate responsibility for the outcome to God. Their abandoned brother had become governor and would ensure that not only them, but many others would survive the famine. He has been sent to save lives. An enemy of childhood became actually a friend of many others. Instead of rejecting or punishing them, he extends a hand to them and tells them to bring his father down to Egypt to see out the famine years, and greeting Benjamin first, he embraced all of his family and tears fell freely. What a wonderful thing. Such is the wonder of the forgiveness and mercy and grace. Healing and restoration had come after all these years. Now when we go back to the teaching of Jesus in Luke 6, and we compare it with the story of Joseph and his brothers, we see that God has different ways and plans, and that things definitely roll out differently than we might expect in our lives. Therefore Jesus says, and I'm quoting verse 27, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And one morning, it was apparently approximately five years ago, I like to pray when I bath or in the shower. Don't have the image, but you had it. I just enjoy praying in the shower. And that specific morning, it was also this text. And I said to the Lord, really, I struggle with this. How can you pray for someone that really ill-treats you in life? And, well, it's the message further. And verse 35, and I'll answer it in just a moment. "But love your enemies," says Jesus. "Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back." Now, for the Jews, this would not be good business. "Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." Did you hear that? Because the Lord is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Very strange words. "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Now, if we put the action of Joseph's brother into perspective, they were wicked. If we think back of Joseph's reaction as a youngster, well, to be honest, I think he was quite ungrateful towards his brothers and towards his family, expecting them to serve him on a kind of a pedestal. You remember the dreams he had? Yes, he thought a lot of himself. So when Jesus uttered these words, it does make me think of my own life, and maybe you do too. Because maybe you and I, we have enemies consciously. Maybe you are a conscious enemy to someone else. And on the other hand, not even knowing, you might be seen as an enemy to someone you would never even imagine it to be. But they think of you as an enemy. Maybe your actions and words was unintentionally meant by yourself, but offensive taken to someone else, and vice versa in our lives. Someone said something or did something, not intending to harm you, but it did. And maybe so did you and I. Therefore, this commandment of Jesus is of utmost importance. It's not only to love those who you see as your enemy, but also to be loved back in be reconciled by God the Father and his love for me and you, also with our sins, and to love others. It helps to restore brokenness. It reconciles. It broadens the platform to give grace. And you know the old saying, when you give something, you have empty hands, and therefore I can receive it at the same moment. So when I give grace, I have open hands and an open heart to receive grace by God and by others. In my childhood on the farm, And I know you're all familiar with this image or what I'm telling you out of my childhood. One thing I loved doing was sitting at the dam on the wall and to throw stones, trying to throw them in the middle of the dam. And then, you know, the ripple effect of it. But I wouldn't throw a bunch of stones. It didn't make any effect. I liked watching the effect of one stone, plunk, and then you see the ripple effect. We've seen it all. The stone in the middle makes a ripple effect that is ongoing, much, much wider than one initially thinks it would be and where the effect might reach. It kept on going on the dam there on the farm. And I see the same effect with blessing or cursing others. Blessing those whom I might not like or love so much. If the Lord bless them and change their attitude, change their circumstances, it might have an effect on those around them. And they might discover the grace of God and a fuller life. And if it affects their lives, it would probably affect those around them and those around them and those around them. And it might affect you and me and your family and my family and those who are really in need of love. Instead of returning evil and maybe ending up in a bigger disaster in the end, Jesus says, be the change. To love your enemies is also to receive grace from God and to grant yourself, your family, your community, the grace and mercy of the Lord. Thus, to love God is also to love others. As you love yourself, love your enemies. Amen. Jesus, I think when you came to earth to teach your disciples, you knew that this was not only intended for them, but for a larger crowd. People who actually thought they had life in full, like maybe the Jews. And you wanted them to discover there's much more to life. To love you implicates that's the one side of a coin, but if the coin is not minted on the other side, it has no value. There's the other side of the coin. Loving neighbors, loving enemies, like we love ourselves. And it's easy to say that we like ourselves. Some of us, we are uncomfortable with ourselves. Thank you that you also help us with that. And when you had this commandment taught unto your disciples, you knew that it would broaden communities. Extending communities, giving love and life. Getting people who sometimes get lost, like ourselves, to find the way again. And therefore, I thank you, and I believe we as a congregation also thank you that this commandment is also true for us. Sometimes we don't want to be the enemy of others. Sometimes we are our own enemy. And therefore you help us to forgive others so that we can be set free within your presence to worship and love you more. And therefore the text makes much more sense when you say that our cups or our bags will overflow. I think the context of those days, people would think in a materialistic way, might be that as well, how you bless us. But that our life would be full of abundance. Therefore we thank you, of goodness. Help us then to forgive our enemies. Such an easy thing to say. But therefore, in all humbleness, we pray for your Spirit to help us with that. Give us the wisdom I want to say the actions and then the words. To become your constant disciples in this process of loving enemies. Thank you that you love us. Guide us by your grace. We pray this in your name, Jesus. You, the teacher of all times, which provide the life we live in. Amen. Let's sing from CH4, 706, for the healing of the nations. And when we sing a hymn, obviously it's also a praise and a prayer. Thank you, Evelyn. Let us bring our offering unto the Lord.
Let us pray. Father above, in this time where it can feel like we have nothing but enemies around us, show us your way. When we see threats all around, help us to be understanding and forgiving of others. When we lack compassion and are quick to judge, show us pause. When others are in need, help us to do the right thing, even when uncomfortable. When we question your light and your plan. Steer us with your ever-guiding hand. Father Almighty, we bring to you those near and far who need your light. We pray for the victims of war in Yemen, Syria, and Palestine. We pray for humanitarian disasters ongoing and pending in Venezuela and Africa. And we pray for those trying to escape humanitarian disasters all across Europe. We pray for those who are uncertain, who do not know where next month's money will come from, and for those who do not know where they will take their next night's rest. We pray for governments, local and national, all across the world. In ever-swirling turmoil, may they be guided by your wisdom to see the right and true path. We pray for our church and its community, that after last night's success, we may continue to be guided by you to enrich our community with your teaching and word. We pray for Tony Law and his family, and for Anne Ling's brother and family. We ask that you guide them and cradle them in your mercy during these ever difficult times. May they know your presence. We pray for Tim and his work, and for the Connect team, and all those endeavouring so diligently within this church. We ask that you guide and continue to bless these projects. We offer these prayers in your most merciful and gracious name. Amen.
Our closing hymn, Love Divine or Love Excelling, CH 4519.
Thank you.
Just spare me the words. One remark, the way we sing, I really look forward how we will sing one day together in heaven. It's wonderful to sing with you of the glory and praises. Thank you also for last night. I really appreciate it from the deepness of my heart. Thank you for everything. The Lord will set out before you to prepare the road ahead of you. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you against the onslaughts of evil. And the Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. The Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day you might fall or stumble. And the Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Lord will be within you so that you may live from his grace and from his love and the works of his Holy Spirit. So be the Lord unto you all your ways. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.